Om Agnanam Namaskaram. Sri Chaitanya Mahavishnam Stapitam Nana Bhutalai Sayam Kapadam Nam Adatvi Sapam Kam Manasa Parvati Vyastha Kripasam Tati Chira Pabili Pabaisu Devi on Hold the Mother. Akura is traveling to Vrindavan and he's thinking. That same Supreme Lord has descended, meaning the one who was so powerful that just by describing the Lord's qualities, his activities, and his appearance, all sins are destroyed and all good fortune is created. Just by doing that, so he's so powerful that just by talking about him, everything is purified. What to speak of? Seeing him. So he's saying that same Supreme Lord has descended into the dynasty of the Satyatis to delight the exalted demigods who maintain the principles of religion that he's created. And residing in Vrindavan, so I'm going to see him. He who is that powerful, who has come down to assist the demigods to maintain the principles of religion, not the principles of religion of the demigods, but his own principles of religion. He's come down for that purpose, in conjunction with the demigods. And there he is, residing in Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, everything he does spreads his fame, which the demigods glorify in song, and which brings auspiciousness to all. Nice set of verses. Kura is famous for his prayers. Sabhavatina Kila Satpatanvaye Sasetupala Maravarya Samakrit Deso Vitanvan Vraja Asta Isvaro Kayanti Deva Yarase Samangalam. Unending, all auspicious glories. That's his fame. Today I shall certainly see him, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls. And seeing him brings jubilation to all her eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. I should say something about that. I'll read it again and I'll ask everyone to say something about it. It's so beautiful. Today I shall certainly see him, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls. Seeing him brings jubilation to all who have eyes, for he is the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune, and now all the dawns of my life have become auspicious. Dawns.
Dawns.
Dawns meaning the sunrises. Can you say something about that?
Not only at home, but even in the evenings.
But what is he saying when he says all the dawns of my life? It means all the days of my life. Because in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, it says that you rising and setting of the sun just lessens the life of someone who's not engaged like this, and of someone who sees this. And also the whole life has led to this point. So because somehow or another, I was seeing today, everything in my life has become worthwhile because there have been stepping stones to this point. It's an interesting way to look at, because our life is so full of good and bad things, difficulties, easy things, this, that, pleasures, miseries. And somehow or another we can end in this one thing, and it all has meaning, positive meaning. And if it doesn't end in this,
because also the good and bad lead to this point that he's talking about.
For him, yeah.
So everything is actually good, even the bad things.
Yeah. Even the bad times are good. If this happens, if we want to make if happen, how to make if happen? It's great fortune.
Isn't that the beauty of the universe?
Yeah. What did it say about
jubilation?
Seeing him brings jubilation. What does jubilation mean?
Great happiness.
Yeah. It is the real beauty.
There's a sense of joy and triumph
among
those relations.
Yeah. Mahautsav, a great festival. It's a celebratory celebration, jubilation. So all have arrived. So just by seeing him, it's like a festival. A festival, and you can't have a dull looking festival, because then it's not festive. So there has to be decorations and everything for a festival. So the Krishna is a festival for the eyes. He's Mahautsava. Mahotsav. Because he's the true beauty of the universe. Indeed, his personal form is the shelter desired by the goddess of fortune. Aspadam. Ipsita aspadam. And I shall see him. Indrakshe mama asan us u sasha sudarshina. All auspicious. My days have become all of the dawns of my life have become auspicious. And I'd also like to say anything about it. Today I shall simply see him, the goal and spiritual master of the great souls.
It starts from initially in his first verses, he's talking about like the phases. So first he's thinking about his lotus feet, and then his body and head and his eyes. And then he come up to this point, which is the highest level of seeing him. So that's like the peak of all things that can be related to Krishna in the senses. Because seeing him is just, it fills up everything from the other stuff.
It what?
Fills up all the desires that he has.
But he's going to go on further, because when you see him, what will you do? Just go. Probably at first. But then what? And there's some interactions. So that's what starts next. He's going to describe the interactions. So in this point, he's describing how powerful he is, how wonderful he is. Just like talking about him, he purifies. What does seeing him actually right there? Because when you're talking about him, he doesn't have to be physically there, but how can you see him unless he's actually there? So actually being in his presence in that way is the same as that way, but from the simple point of view, he's that powerful just by talking about him, his glories, his pastimes. It's purifying, completely purifying. And then on the other hand, he said, and the words bereft of his glories are like the decorations on a dead body, useless. Let's see if this occur considered. Today my eyes will relish a true festival of bliss. I will see Sri Krishna, whose form is the reservoir of the conjugal attractions of blessedness, and aspired for, his form is aspired for by the goddess of fortune, who forever resides on Vishnu's chest. The mornings following many nights have brought auspiciousness for thee. Otherwise, it is implied, without so many sleepless nights, this fruit would never have come down. Now, what is he going to talk about? What is he going to do when he actually sees him who is the perfection of the eyes? Then, upon seeing him, I will at once alight from my chariot. And what will he do after he gets off his chariot? Bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna. This is all, he's all thinking this in his mind, exactly what is he going to see. First, how fortunate he is, even getting the opportunity, and in such a peculiar way, ironic way, this fortune has come to him because it's been ordered by a demon, Kamsa, who's the enemy of Krishna, and somehow or another, misfortune, being in the, under the order of someone who's an enemy of God, a demon, is so obviously so misfortunate, unfortunate, that sometimes fortune is born out of misfortune. So then, how fortunate I am, and will I really be able to see him, considering how unqualified I am, and on he's thinking. And now he talks about how powerful this talking about him is, and then how wonderful the festival of seeing him is. And then when he sees him, I will at once get off my chariot, alight from my chariot, and immediately bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, Pradhana Punso, these original persons, Charanam, to their lotus feet, Svalabhaye, for the sake of gaining something, self-realization. Yeah, so he's going to say that. So he's going to bow down to the lotus feet immediately upon seeing them. I will bow down to the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram, the supreme personalities of Godhead, Pradhana, Purusha, Pumsa. And theirs, those feet that I will bow down to, are the same feet that great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. They keep those feet within their minds. And I will also offer my obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriend and all to all the other residents of Vrindavan. So he's going to melt and he's offering his obeisances everywhere. Why is he going to offer his obeisances? Well, it's clear why he's going to offer his obeisances to Krishna's lotus feet, Balaram's lotus feet. They're the Pradhan's original, well, first Pumsa persons. And then he's going to, and these feet are the goal of all the yogis, to have the lotus feet captured, have the Lord captured in the heart. So, and he's going to see those feet without having gone through all the yogi practices. So how fortunate is that? Of course, he's following the path of bhakti. And theirs are the same feet the great mystic yogis striving for self-realization bear within their minds. And then he will offer my his obeisances to the Lord's cowherd boyfriends and to all the other residents of the Vrindavan. Why will he offer his obeisances to them?
They are equally exalted to have association of such a great, powerful personality, you know. They are not less.
Yeah.
So they are also exalted.
Sarinam Samacharam. Sarinam Samacharam. Also they are dear to Krishna.
So whoever is dear to Krishna is, must be exalted by definition. And if he wasn't exalted, he will be exalted. And that's actually the one sense we could say the goal of our practices, of Krishna's practices, is somehow to become endeared to him. And how to become endeared to him? Bhakta and bhakta janapriya, to even become a devotee of a dear devotee, makes one
deity of Krishna. Krishna says, Bhakta, Bhakti, Janan, Priya. So not only are my devotees dear to me, but the devotees of my devotees are dear to me. Otherwise.
To those who say they are my devotees, they are not actually my devotees. But those who say they are who are devotees of my devotees, they are real devotees.
That's the Dhyanam Samachanam. That's from the Adi Purana, that one. Arjuna asked Krishna.
Yes, Adi Purana.
Yeah. Very good. Adi Purana. But what you said is from the Adi Purana.
This is what she was saying. Radhanam Sarvesham, Vishnu Ranam.
Yeah. Yeah.
So here, 15, Sri Vishnu Prabhupada Thakur comments, there's no comment here. Akula thought, as soon as I see Krishna Bala, I will immediately jump off my chariot, bow down, and hold on to their lotus feet, which yogis embrace only with their intelligence in the course of self-realization. He's going to. I will also bow down to the companions of Krishna Balaram, to all the residents of Braja. So he's really just hoping and seeking. This is the process of really entering, isn't it? It's to always be thinking in this way. Oh, I want to do this for Krishna, I want to do that. And as soon as I see him, I'm going to. And no other thoughts.
Consciousness has been dusted off. The real consciousness is.
Yeah, shining through. But a lot of his consciousness dusting off, it's by his anticipation.
That the whole thing is dusting off process.
But that's what, yes. What I mean. That his desire is increasing.
Yeah.
And then what happens? And it's so interesting that this is what this is just all his thinking. He hasn't done anything yet except he's driving his chariot.
He's getting ready.
Yeah.
Brilliant, really, his heart is going on.
And then, when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand upon my head. For those who seek shelter in him because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand removes all fear. What does it mean, greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time? Why is there's another place also that when Yudhisthira Maharaj comes and sees that Dhritarashtra has left home, Yudhisthira is thinking of himself the protector of Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra was so elderly and and blind, so a blind person needs protection. So Yudhisthira was thinking of himself as the protector of Dhritarashtra. And then, as he was lamenting, Dhritarashtra had gone, and thinking, who's going to take care of him? Narada Muni appeared. And he said, who will take care of, how I would be taking care of him? I'm not going to be there to take care of him. And Narada said, how can one who is himself within the jaws of time protect another? Very heavy statement. The jaws of time, Kalasat, squoze, crushed by time.
Very instructive sloka in this Narada Muni has spoken. So much, he said, Ma kanchan shutam rajam jagdishwar vasham jagat sa sam yuktani bhutani sa eva bhujinuktani sa, meaning their mind, oh king, please don't worry, because this whole universe is being governed by Jagdish, by Ishwara, you know. He is the one who unites the people and he is the one who suppressed them, you know. Mm. So everything is happening by his will, so you have no cause to worry.
So when I have fallen at his feet, the Almighty Lord will place his lotus hand on my head. And for those who seek shelter in him, because they are greatly disturbed by the powerful serpent of time, that hand, his hand is blessing. When he's going to feet and he's expecting Krishna to place his lotus hand upon his head, in blessing him. So the blessings of Krishna remove all fear. The hand of Krishna. Akura thought, this is the coming Krishna. And Krishna will place his lotus hand, which bestows fearlessness upon all living entities, upon my head. Now he's going to glorify Krishna's hand.
Mahaprabhu was keeping his foot on their heads.
Huh?
Mahaprabhu was keeping his feet on the head of his whom he wanted to bless.
And the next moment he was touching the lotus feet with his own hand, saying, I am, please bless me, make me a servant of Krishna. His moods would shift. But here he's going to glorify now the hand that Krishna is going to place upon his head. So this is going to show, he's showing how fortunate he is, because this hand that he's speaking of will be placed on his head. By offering sari to that Buddha's hand, Purandara, Indra, and Bali earn the status of Indra, king of heaven. So that hand is so powerful that it bestowed heaven upon Bali Maharaj and Indra, the kingship of heaven. And during the pleasure pastimes of the Rasa dance, when the Lord wiped away the gopis' perspiration and removed their fatigue, the touch of their faces made that hand as fragrant as a sweet flower. So that hand is so wonderful, but it's been glorified by the touch of the gopis. So it's really he's just mentioned that he wants to offer his obeisances to the residents of Vrindavan, and now he's. And that hand is so powerful, but it has become more glorious, more fragrant even, by the touch and the perspiration, because perspiration isn't usually considered very fragrant, or auspicious. You can't even do puja when you're perspiring, because it's not auspicious, it's not clean. And yet, because the gopis are so absolutely wonderful, everything from them is so auspicious, that it even adds to the glory of Krishna's hand, of Krishna. So what a glorification of them. And what is their qualification? It's that they have a special flavor, taste of love for Krishna. Their love for Krishna is so wonderful. It means that it is pleasing to him. The way that they love him, their mood is completely pleasing to him. And that has made them so exalted that even the fragrance, that perspiration makes fragrance of lotus hand. So here in the purport, the Puranas call the lotus found in the Manasasarova lake a Sogandika, full of fragrance, permeated. But Krishna's lotus hand acquired the fragrance of this flower by coming in contact with the beautiful faces of the gopis. This specific incident, which occurred during the Rasa Lila, is described in the 31st chapter of the 10th canto, that means the Rasa Lila chapter. So Krishna has commented on this. I offer water to symbolize one's intention, sankalpa, to give charity. Offering water to symbolize one's intention to give charity, Purandara, and Bali perfectly worshipped that hand and attained the post of Indra to rule over the three worlds. The offerings of water to the Lord's hand were performed by Purandara during the avatar of Sarvabhauma and by Bali during the avatar of Amanadev. Thus Purandara became Indra and Bali will attain the post in the future. At the time of the Rasa dance, Krishna used his lotus hand to wipe away the drops of perspiration from the limbs of the gopis, which had arisen from the fatigue of enjoyment. This is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-20. This subtly indicates that just as Krishna's lotus feet, although worshipped by Brahma and the demigods, carry the remnants of kumkum from the gopis' breast, similarly his lotus hands, even though worshipped by such personalities as Indra and Bali, perform the service of wiping away the perspiration from the face of the gopis. Such is the super excellence of the sweet mood of the Vraja gopis. What is the nature of Krishna's lotus hand? The Puranas call the lotus found in the Manasa Sarovara Sogandhika. Sri Krishna's hand acquired the aroma of this flower by touching the beautiful fragrant faces of the gopis. Though Akura was a Dasya Bhakta in the mood of servitorship, because he is speaking to himself, there is no overlapping of metals. It's not inappropriate for him to glorify the gopis. So there's no rasalas. So now he continues his thinking as he's going along. The infallible Lord, this is obviously one of the worries that he's had, will not consider me as an enemy, even though Kamsa has sent me here as his messenger. After all, the omniscient Lord is the actual knower of the fields of this material body, and with his perfect vision he witnesses, both internally and externally, all the endeavors of the conditioned soul's heart. Being omniscient, Lord Krishna knew that Akura was only externally a friend of Kamsa. Internally, he was an eternal devotee of Lord Sri Krishna. Though all this is true, Akura still feared that it would be impossible to get Krishna's mercy. Therefore, he refutes this idea. He speaks against this idea that because he's coming on behalf of Kamsa, why would Krishna be merciful to him? So that's his fear, and he speaks against it. He talks against the thought that has come to his mind. Akura thought, though I am Kamsa's messenger, I am, and I've been sent by Kamsa, Krishna will understand that I am not his enemy, because he is present both outside and inside my heart. Antabahiravastita. Krishna witnesses not only my activities, but the activities of everyone in the universe. So Krishna will place his hand, he will bow down to Krishna. Krishna will place his hand on his head. Yes, he will. Because his first thought was, no, he won't do that. He won't bless me because I'm coming as his enemy. I mean, as his enemy, on behalf of his enemy, who's Kamsa. So then, no, he will. He'll understand my heart. On the outside, serving Kamsa, but inside, I'm his devotee.
And then, he will cast his smiling, affectionate glance upon me. So now Krishna is going to look at him. As I remain fixed with joined palms, fallen in obeisances at his feet, then all my contaminations will at once be dispelled, and I will give up all doubts and feel the most intense bliss. Read this one again. So here is getting the results of this intimate contact with Krishna. First he will glance his smiling affectionate he will cast his smiling affectionate glance upon me as I remain fixed with joined palms, fallen in obeisances at his lotus feet like this. Then, because of the contact with Krishna's lotus feet, all my contaminations will at once be dispelled, and I will give up all doubts, and I will feel the most intense bliss. Akura thought, will Krishna not glance at me with his eyes moistened with the nectar of his mercy as I fervently offer respects to his lotus feet? Immediately I will achieve unlimited bliss, and all fear will disappear because the Lord certainly knows my heart. Continuing, recognizing me as an intimate friend and relative, as he was related to Krishna, Krishna will embrace me with his mighty arms, instantly sanctifying my body, diminishing to nil all my material bondage, which is due to fruitive activities. Krishna Chakravarti Thakur comments. Akura thought, Krishna will embrace me because we are best of friends, but also because we are relatives. And among relatives, I am imbued with a mood of exclusive servitude. Madhya Dagatam, which is Akantika Dasyavantam. He's just a pure servant of Krishna. This is how he perceives of himself. I'm imbued with a mood of exclusive servitude towards him. By Krishna's embrace, my body will become pure and act as a holy tirtha to purify others. Afterward, I will become liberated from material existence. And having been embraced by the all-famous Lord Krishna, I will humbly stand before him with bowed head and joined palms. So here's the sequence. So he's thinking, and then he's going to see Krishna, and then he's going to jump off his chariot and immediately bow down to Krishna's lotus feet, just staying there. And then Krishna will place his lotus hand upon his head and bless him in that way with his fragrant lotus hand. And then he will look at him. Krishna will look at him. And then he will embrace his body with his two hands. And then all his material existence, all bondage will be cracked. By his glance, all doubts will go away, and he'll be completely freed as he's purified by the embrace of Krishna. And then I will just humbly stand before him with bowed head and joined palms, because it's not polite when you're dealing with such a superior as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to just stare at him like that. Of course, from the point of view of the Braja Gopis and the cowherd boys and Mother Yasoda and Nandama, they can't help but stare at him because they're so attracted to him. But because of Akura's dasya bhav, his mood of servitorship, this is also described when Prajunga, the son of Krishna, would stand in front of Krishna, would always keep his head down, and Krishna would chastise him and say, why are you feeling so bad? You should look at me. I'm your father. But he would be in the mood of servitorship. So now he's going to stand with his head bowed. So if he's standing there like this, then who will speak? If he's standing there like this in front of Krishna, even though he's so senior in years, or nothing senior, Krishna's just a boy, but he's standing like this, I'm the servant. And Krishna speaks. He will address me. My dear Akura. Akura, you are dear to me, my dear Akura. At that very moment, my life's purpose will be fulfilled.
Indeed, the life of anyone whom the Supreme Personality fails to recognize is simply pitiable. When Krishna calls out to me, "Oh, uncle, my life will become successful. Otherwise, my life is useless. Indeed, one who is truly fortunate, indeed, one is truly fortunate if he is not respected by, one is truly unfortunate if he is not respected by great persons." Then he's going to know, why is Krishna treating him like this, in this way? Because there's also, there's preaching in here. Because we're hearing this and it's causing different thoughts within our own consciousness to come out. So why is Krishna treating Akura in this way? So Akura says, "The Supreme Lord has no favorite and no dearmost friend, nor does he consider anyone undesirable, despicable, or fit to be neglected. At the same time, he lovingly reciprocates with his devotees in whatever manner they worship him. Just as the trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever approaches them, he lovingly reciprocates with his devotees in whatever manner they worship him." An example, just as the kalpavriksha trees in heaven fulfill the desires of everyone who approaches him. So, let me read the verse again. "The Supreme Lord has no favorite and no dearmost friend." What verse in the Bhagavad Gita? "Nor does he consider anyone undesirable, anyone despicable," meaning worthy to be despised, "or fit to be neglected." No. "He lovingly reciprocates with his devotees in whatever manner they worship him, just as the trees of heaven fulfill the desires of whoever who approaches him." So, yayatamam paprajate. So our relationship with Krishna, or how Krishna treats us, is an indication of our consciousness to Krishna. Is the comment here. The Lord says something similar in the Bhagavad Gita. "Samaham so bhuteshu namai dvishasina priya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend and is an enemy, and I'm also a friend to him." Similarly, Lord Chaitanya was as hard as a thunderbolt for those who envied him, and as soft as a rose for those who understood his divine mission. Someone may object, "The Supreme Lord should be equal to all at all times. Why should he show special friendship to someone like you?" Though Krishna, Akura responds to this objection in this verse. In other words, why are you expecting so much from Krishna? Why is he going to give you all? Because you're just imagining these things. You're just thinking of all the things that are going to happen. Why do you think you're going to bow down and he's going to put his hand on your head and bless you with his glass, and you think he's going to embrace you and say, "My dear Akura, my old uncle"? Why? He should be equal to all at all times. Why should he give you this special mercy? Why should he show special friendship to someone like you? Akura responds to this objection in this verse. "But Krishna is neither a dear friend nor enemy of anyone. Still he reciprocates with his devotees, as stated in his own words in the Bhagavad Gita, Samoham Sarabhujesuna Medre Sostinakriya. I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I'm equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend and is in me, and also I am a friend to him." The word Patata means that Krishna responds to his devotees according to how they worship him. This is in accordance with Krishna's statement, Yayitamam Papadyante, Tamstataka Bhajanyaham, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. The word Sura Drumo Yadvar, like a heavenly desire tree, indicate how the various degrees of fruits awarded correspond to the various degrees of shelter taken. As there are no discrepancies, if the Kalpavriksha desire tree does not give fruits to a person who does not take shelter of it, similarly, it is so in the case of the Supreme Lord. However, whereas the Lord is dependent upon his surrendered devotees, the Kalpavriksha is not dependent on those who take shelter of it. Therefore, according to the devotion, Krishna shows friendship, enmity, or neutrality. For example, Krishna showed friendship to Ambarish, an enemy, or enmity, or indifference to the envious Durvas. What do you think of that one? Let me just read one more verse and we'll stop. And then Lord Krishna's elder brother, now how will Balaram treat him? The foremost of the Yadus, Yadu Uttama, he will grasp my joined hands. So he's standing like this with his head down, and Balaram will take him by his hands. And he will grasp my joined hands while I'm still standing with my head bowed. And after embracing me, he will take me to his house. There he will honor me with all items of mutual welcome and inquire from me about how Kamsa has been treating his family members. Krishna comments. So Kura considered, will Krishna's elder brother Balaram clasp my folded palms with his right hand and lead me into his house to speak privately? After finishing his acts of hospitality, Balaram will inquire about how Kamsa has been treating his family members. My dear King, Sukadeva Goswami said, while the son of Svafalka, a Kura, traveling on the road, was meditating deeply on Sri Krishna, he reached Gokul as the sun was beginning to set. Okay, so what do you think about those verses?
I have that interesting purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur when that describes our situation in relationship with Krishna. That's completely reciprocal, and how the difference between Krishna, what difference did he say was between how Krishna reciprocates and a desire to reciprocate? Desire to remain independent, he just gives and gives and gives. But Krishna actually becomes dependent on his devotees. Who knows an example of that? I can think of an example. Krishna becomes dependent on his devotees.
He is dependent on the gopis.
In what way?
So much. That he says he can't repay them. That, you know, being so powerful and all in all, and he accepts that I'm unable to repay their love.
Another one? Two. Yeah. Thanks. Who's. Yeah, he thinks his mood is that if she doesn't feed me, when he opens his mouth after having eaten dirt and asking Mother Yashoda to look inside his mouth,
and then Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti showed Mother Yashoda the universe within Krishna's mouth or in his stomach, then Mother Yashoda became completely enamored by the potency of Krishna,
and she thought, look at my situation, here I am, thinking myself the mother of this boy, and I look in his mouth and I see the universes, I see myself the wife of Nandamaraj, and when confronted with this opulence I see that these things are all temporary, these identities are all temporary. And she started thinking like this, that in this way that she became somewhat so confused by Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti. And then Krishna started thinking, uh-oh, if mother is in this mood, then who's going to feed me? So he therefore covered her feeling of Aishwarya with Yogamaya when he started feeling like that. He became afraid, who's going to feed me? And when Mother Yasoda went to track Krishna up after he had broken the butterput, then Krishna became frightened. And he began to cry with the chasm running down his face. So how is that possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And the answer is that his consciousness becomes compressed when in the company of the love of his devotees. He forgets, practically speaking. He gets so much pleasure from the association of his devotees because of their love. His consciousness becomes just like a little boy. Or his consciousness becomes just like the dearmost friend of his friends, or he becomes this consciousness just becomes like the lover of the gopis, young boy with a young girl. His consciousness becomes just like that, due to the mode of their love for him. It's so powerful. His all-pervading consciousness just withdraws.
Similarities between Krishna and the Kapha-Gurus that Jesus had him. And there are also dissimilarities as well. The similarities are that he reciprocates. But when it comes to his devotees, he can't fully reciprocate because they give more than he has the capacity to return. That's how he feels. So he remains a servant. Even with Bali Maharaj, he became a servant of Bali Maharaj, a doorkeeper of Bali Maharaj. So he became a servant. Bali gave everything to him, and he purchased the Lord. So in this way, meditating on Krishna, he arrived in Gokul, in Braja, as the sun was beginning to set. Any other comments or questions?
Yeah. Is there any examples of Krishna being dependent on the cow boyfriend? That he is really different to them.
Huh?
He is,
certainly is. So many, because they take his lunch baskets, and when they won't give it back to him, he cries. All the boys cry. They tease each other, and Krishna also cries. He cries and cries because they won't give it to him. And they say, okay, take it back, baby.
Right on his shoulders.
And when the cowboy boys walked into the mouth of Agasura, he became confused. And when the cowherd boys drank the water that had been poisoned by Kaliya, Krishna began to cry because they died. Krishna began to cry. And the tears coming from Krishna's eyes blessed their bodies and woke them up from death.
And he thought, and when the boys were taken by Brahma, he thought, how will I go home without the boys? What will the parents say? Oh, the cow, the mother cows will be so disturbed.
Rama was traveling to Sweden. He had no clothes on. The first describes she is Padan and Haratan, but neither he had shirt on nor he had ugly turban on or so forth. And when Krishna came running and embraced him, took him to some chambers. And he said, Pani Parat Kuhat Shivoni Nagan Kripat Tejam Kripat Dhoi. There was water available, brought for washing his feet, but he didn't use the water. While his tears, he washed his heart.
Mm-hmm.
He was so overwhelmed by the affection for those memories that they had together at Guru's ashram.
Mm-hmm.
So he didn't use the water, but you know, with his tears he washed his feet, made him sit on his own bed.
Nakua came to see Krishna. Came in a different mood than the gopis, of course. And that's why he saw him in a different age also?
Different
age? Which was because he was in Vrindavan, he was a boy.
No, he saw him as a boy. So it seems. There's no indication that he was anything else than a boy. But yet he saw him as the Supreme Lord. He saw his power. Later on he saw him in the
water.
In the water he saw him in his Vishnu form. But when he got back to the land, he understood that Krishna was the source of the Vishnu form. That it all came from him.
Mm.
So what you meant? That he saw him in a different way? Look, it's because according to the mood, it's just the same principle, according to the mood that one has when one approaches Krishna, Krishna allows wants to see a different aspect of himself. So he has that aspect of Vishnu as the all-powerful Lord. He's Raso Vaisa, he has all rasas within him. So if one wants to serve him in the mood of a friend, Krishna reciprocates by allowing him to see that aspect of Krishna. If one wants to serve him in that dasya bhav, then Krishna lets him see the opulence, his opulences, like he let Arjuna see his opulences. And if one wants to serve him in the sense of how Kamsa wanted to serve him, reciprocate with him, relate to him, then Krishna lets himself be seen as death personified. Because this is the absolute truth. All things are within him. Everything. Nothing is separate from him. So he can reveal any aspect of himself, anything in the universe, because the universe is also him. So there's that little story of last time where Prabhupada was, the Japanese were bombing Calcutta. It's hard to conceive of that at this point, but indeed they did. World War II, obviously. And when Prabhupada was silent, most of the people had left Calcutta already. And the sirens or whatever started whirling or whatever they do, sirens do, ringing, not ringing, what do sirens do? They make noise. sirens wail. So they began wailing. And Prabhupada was eating breakfast at that time or something. He said, anyway. He kept on thinking to God, he didn't go for shelter. And then and he said he was thinking, but this is another aspect of Krishna. And the bombs are dropping. This is like Krishna's universal form. But it is not a very attractive aspect of Krishna. Questions, comments?
Mysterious.
What do you think is mysterious about this?
The Lord of the universe shedding tears, washing the feet of the poor and
that
how that happens,
yeah. That's what Kunti Devi said. Kunti specifically says, this is bewildering me. I see that you're crying. Madhyasoda is trying to tie you up. And tears are coming to your eyes. And this sight is bewildering me. How is this possible? Because it's contradictory, because you fear personified. Death is afraid of you, serves you out of fear. The winds blow out of fear of you, the sun shines out of fear of you. They follow your orders, in other words, with so much reverence. But yet, when the Yasoda is chastising you, you're crying real tears. Why? Because you're afraid. That's why you're crying. So this is...
That's
mysterious. That's mysterious. You would say it's bewildering.
Bhrikuti Vilas Srishti Lahore. If he looks like that, you know, a little with curved eyebrow, the universe can dissolve.
Just like that?
Yeah. If he looks like that.
What happens if he makes a mistake? It doesn't have to be
cigarette.
Well, there must be some desire in there too. You have to desire it.
That shows his power.
Yes.
That's the power. That if he wills, he doesn't have to do anything. He just looks like this whole universe will be dissolved.
Mm.
He doesn't even have to get angry.
Mm.
So...
it's a shakti.
Yes. Sankalp. A little sankalp in his... in his mind, it will happen immediately.
Mm.
So that's the situation. As we keep on making so many sankalpas, none of them comes true. So that's the difference. No? There lies the mystery in between the whole. So much power. So much power.
How much power?
We can't conceive that.
Too much power.
All power.
All powerful. Even the power, the little powers that we have, they also come from him.
Yes, they are part of
it. Wonderful. Okay, Hare Krishna. So tomorrow, Balaram. Balaram is all powerful. And the next day we'll have. What did the teacher say?